Please open your Bible to John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter. I will begin reading in verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." We've already talked about Jesus is someone that God expects us to follow. But Jesus did not tell his own words. He brought the words of God. Therefore, when we open this to the last will and testament of Jesus, and we begin to read from this book, then that is God's word, and it is God speaking to us. The lesson that has been assigned me tonight is, where does Jesus fit in? Where does Jesus fit in your life, in my life? There are many people in this world that are living lives that there is no way that Jesus can fit into their life. The Lord will not fit into any life who is living in sin or living contrary to the teachings of the Heavenly Father. But we as children of God should make Jesus the center of our life. Jesus is the hub of the wheel of God's great truths. Jesus has been referred to and told about in the Old Testament. We should love the Lord very much for what he has done in our life. He has loved us so much. But you know, the world is full of people that want no part of Jesus, and they're not interested in Jesus being a part of their life. There are Christians that I'm sad to say that have left their first love, and they are traveling down another road. Brethren, down every road and every path, there are those who are patiently waiting for the Good Samaritan, or someone who will come and share with them the wonderful news of the Lord and help them in the things that they need help in. That is the responsibility of God's children. Jesus had compassion on everyone. We read in the Bible that it didn't matter. Jesus loved those who were sick, who were living ways that their lives were a burdensome to them. Jesus helped everybody, those that were blind, lame, crippled, those who were downtrodden, and Jesus had compassion on all of them. That's what we must have in our life. We must love people as the Lord loved people. And we must be about our Father's business. And that's sharing the love of the Lord to those that we know and those that we come in contact with. What are we going to tell the Lord when we have neighbors next door that need Jesus and we don't so much as talk to them? Where do we stand? Where do we fit in? We don't fit in very well with the Lord when we're that way. Brethren, we're living at a special time in this world, in America. We have the highest standard of living in America that has ever been in America. We have more people that is educated in America in the entire history of America. We have people, and we are part of those who we are not poor and hunger and so forth. But we are rich in this world's goods. You know, the people of the world, there are people tonight that don't have a home to live in. They don't have food on the table tonight. We go and open the cupboard of the refrigerator and we have to make up our mind what we want to eat. The choices are all there. We're living in a time where it is the age of technology, and America is high in technology. We have gadgets galore to make our life easier. I remember, and I'm sure some of you, when women scrubbed the clothes on a scrub board. And now what do? They just punch a button and everything is done for them. We have computers and people that know about computers and they'll just almost do everything. We have cars that can drive themselves. We have television that people can talk over in another country. And we can sit right here and hear them talking and see them while that's going on. We are blessed beyond almost degree in this country. But you know what? There have been polls taken of those very people that I'm telling you about right now. And many of them, according to the articles I read, many of them are unhappy. How can you be unhappy and have all these blessings that God has laid upon you? Well, one reason people are unhappy is because they do not go and get the advice from the one who can make them happy. It is our God that will lift us up and raise us up if we turn unto Him. Jesus can be a part of our life and fit into our life if we will do what the Lord says. But too many times, instead of following the Lord, we make assumptions about too many things. And we decide maybe this is right or this is the way we ought to go, without ever consulting our great God. When you have a problem, do you go to God and ask Him to help you with it? Or do you strike out on your own and you're going to take care of it? God, the Bible says, is very near to each one of us. God, as we talked about, wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to help us, and He will help us if we will go to Him and tell Him our problems But we must be living the life that he wants us to live. And if we do that, he will be our help and he will be our comfort. And brethren, don't doubt for one moment that God will not help us, because he has promised that he will. God gives us many promises, but most of those promises are conditional. It requires some action on our part in order for us to receive the blessing that God promises if we will do that. And I'm going to give you an example. In the Bible, we read, honor your father and your mother. Now, that's the command. It is a commandment, brethren. It's the first commandment with a promise. It is a command of the Lord to honor your father and your mother. Now, what is the blessing? The Lord said that it will be well with you. Well, I want things to be well with me, don't you? Things to go good, I don't have problems, I'm well with me, and I live long upon the face of this earth. Honoring your father and your mother does not mean that you go around telling people how great your parents are. It means that you will love your parents. You'll be concerned about them. I believe that you need to go home and spend time occasionally, I don't care how long you've been married, with your parents. There's two groups of people that I have no time for whatsoever. And that's any children who do not honor their parents, but mistreat their parents, and there are people that way. Don't doubt that they're not. And also, those people that harm little children. I have no time for either one of them, and I do not believe that God does. But I'll tell you this about honoring your mother and your father. If you don't, you will one day have to tell God why you didn't. Don't doubt for a moment that that's not true. It is true. God expects us to love our parents. You know, I loved my parents. I couldn't wait to go see them. I may have told you this, but I'll tell you again. When we were in Austin, Texas, and my parents lived in Lexington, Tennessee, that's where part of the country that I was raised in, we would go at least four times a year to visit them. Going home to me to be with my parents was like going home to Christmas. It was a joyful, happy occasion when we were with them, because they were a wonderful couple and they were a happy couple in their life and with their children. I just loved to go home and be a part of them. Now, brethren, we live in a fearful world. People afraid of the terrorists, that they're going to come blow up some things. They're afraid somebody's going to break into their home and do them harm. They're afraid of certain diseases. God expects us to be concerned about those, but to worry, no. Now, I'm going to tell you about a couple of goals. I'm not going to mention names, naturally. They go to the worship where I do. They come regular. They're in their probably early 70s. They don't miss. They're always there, and you can call on them for many odd jobs, and they're willing to do it. But they were not there. This only happened just a few months back. I didn't see them for several weeks. I went to one of the elders and I said, well, what about so-and-so? Are they out of town? Are they sick? I could see he didn't want to tell me. But finally, he called me over to the side where no one could hear. And here's what he told me. It shocked me. I've never heard this in my life. He said he went to see them, and they told him that they wouldn't be coming up there until the flu season was over with. And when the flu season was over with, they'd be coming back. Well, we didn't see them for probably at least 7 weeks, maybe a little more, and sure enough, they came back, and now they're there all the time. Is that the way we treat God? Brethren, we need to show our love to the Heavenly Father. To be successful in this life, we have to be wiser than the people of this world and wiser than the prince of this world, who is Satan. I'm not talking about being wiser of electrical engineering or anything like that. I'm talking about being wiser to the teachings of the Lord and the way we ought to live and walk in this life. God expects us to be wiser than the world, and we can be if we study His Word and if we ask Him to help us in our life. Brethren, to be successful, all we have to do is follow the teachings of the Lord, and we will be successful. The Lord has blessed me 100 times over. And I'm sure He has blessed you many times in your life. He wants to. Parents love their children, and they want to help them the best that they can. God loves us, and He wants to do good things for us and to help us along the pathway of life. The concept of obedience is not popular in our world, and it's not popular in the church. Too many people get their back up the moment they're asked to do this or to do that. They don't want anybody telling them that they have to do this or not. Well, you're never going to be a Christian if you're one of those that won't accept somebody telling you what you need to do. Brethren, if we do not obey the Lord, the Lord never going to fit in our lives. And if He does not fit in our lives, where does that leave us? A four-letter word. Lost, L-O-S-T, lost. God wants to be a part of our life. He wants to fit into our lives, but we have to let Him. We have to want to do that. And brethren, I can't understand why some brethren don't understand that the happiest life in the world is the Christian life. God will bless you over and over and over again if you walk with Him. Isn't that what we want? Let's turn to Luke, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to close the lesson with this reading. Luke, the 9th chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 22. Luke 9, beginning in verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself destroyed or lost? For whosoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes in his glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. I hope that none of us here are ashamed of the Lord. I hope that we are willing and want to please him and to follow him. The Lord offers every day that he'll stand and knock at the door of our heart. And if we'll open that door, he will come in and be a part of our life. But we have to open the door. He doesn't force the door open. The greatest thing that any of us will ever do in this life, and I don't care how much money you've made, how much education you have, and how high you've reached on the totem pole, the greatest thing that any of us will ever do is when that time we bow our knee at the foot of Jesus and we ask the Lord to please forgive us for the things that we've done against your will. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, you can become one by rendering obedience to the Lord through the waters of baptism, by believing in God, repenting of your sins, being willing to confess, and I always like to say this, that Jesus is the Son of the one, the only living God. He is above all, and if we're his, he is in all. And then to be buried with the Lord through the waters of baptism, immersed, if you please, raised from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. But there may be some who are children of God and you've wandered astray. Brethren, when I was a young man, I had to make that walk down the aisle with all the people that knew me and thought David was one of the finest young men that they had ever known. But they had known that I was doing things that I ought not. It hurt me to have to walk down that aisle and say before those people that I was raised in the church with them and they loved me so much, to say I had done wrong. And I have sinned in my Father's sight. But I made that confession. Brethren, God will accept nothing less. I hope you have the courage and the conviction in your life that if there's something wrong, that you'll be willing to make that right. The Lord is waiting on you. Won't you come to him while together we stand and while we pray?
Hear the sweet voice.